Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Today, we're going to be looking at the confidence of faith. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious, everlasting God, we are grateful for the opportunity to know you and to know you through your word. We ask you today to open your scriptures to us that we may see you and that we may see ourselves more clearly and that we may be your hands, your feet in this world. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of gathering around your word and knowing that wherever we are there, you are in the midst. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as some of you know, we are doing a very special series this month. We have been doing this program for 5 years now. And all of a sudden, I realized I've always come up with whatever I believe we should be covering, et cetera. And I wanted to open it up to you. We're so grateful for our listeners, their faithfulness, their interest, their choices. So we decided, Apostle Kizzy and I decided that we would make this Listener Appreciation Month and let you make suggestions on things that you would like us to cover. Now, again, I'm not always going to say that I'm the expert in any of these fields, and some of them intrigue me a little more than others, and some of them I feel like, yes, that's a great idea. Some of them you're going to make me do some work on. And so I also want to let you know that if anybody else still has some interest here, something else covered, please continue to get it to us because we'll be more than glad to. Who knows, it doesn't have to be just 1 month. Anyway, but the very first suggestion that came very quickly and very strongly, and so I know that this was something on somebody's heart. And I will read it word for word so you get exactly how it came. Having total confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what. So that's what we're looking at first. It came first. It came promptly, strongly, having total confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what. Well, that's a broad subject and one that I can't say at all that I'm an expert in, but we're going to tackle it from one point of view today. And so we're titling today's program, Confidence of Faith, the Confidence of Faith. And so there's a passage that we will get to in a little bit. And I know that, again, there'll be some things later I'd like to cover on that. But so here's my thinking process. When I heard this, I thought, wow, That's a big, big charge. Total confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what. And I thought in my own life, I can't say that. I've had some tremendous temptations and some tremendous challenges. And I've had some tremendous times of being low and, you know, et cetera. And so two or three scriptures came to mind to me. One of the first ones that that came to mind was Corinthians 10:13. And I'll just read it to you. Well, actually, that wasn't that really where kind of where I wanted to start, but that's where I'll go anyway. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, I'll back it up to 12. You know me, I'm always going to back up. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. 13. There hath no temptation taken you but what is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You know, take heed because, you know, there's nothing that's happened to anybody. God is will give us a way out of these things. But when we start feeling cocky about things, that's when we can fall. That came to mind. And then I wanted to share what is to me my favorite prayer in the whole Bible. Well, I say that every time it changes. But there was a gentleman in Mark that that Jesus was curing his son. And in Mark, chapter 9, this will be familiar to some of you, but I just wanted to refresh our memory with it. 23:24, Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out, saying with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. To me, that's sort of where the majority of us land. We believe, and again, this confidence of faith, this request talked about total confidence. But as you can see, every time we talk about confidence, faith, it's hooked with something else. But anyway, most of us, we believe, help our unbelief. All right, so I wanted to read just two or three verses on confidence. We did see that we need to be, God is faithful, who has promised. Okay, I'm just going to read two or three, and I want just on the word confidence so that you get a feel for where we're going to go today. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12, says, in whom, talking about Jesus Christ, again, purpose, Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom, that is, in Christ Jesus our Lord, we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. This not only confidence, we have boldness, and it is access, but what? It's by faith. The other one we read talked about the faith of God. This talks about the faith of Jesus Christ. We have access and boldness and confidence. Okay, then the next one I wanted to read real quickly, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, and having done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And so there's, again, the other one was talking about recompense. This talks about promise, but that it isn't this instantaneous thing. Then the next one that I wanted to share, again, real quickly, is just so we can get the feel for these things. Is in 1 John, and this has kind of been rattling through my brain. 1 John, and we last month did a lot in 1 John because we were talking about love. And so, but March, we're marching forth into your questions, your suggestions, your leading. So 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions desired of him. So we see several things tied to this issue of confidence, one of which is faith, but not our faith, the faith of Jesus Christ. We see that there's recompense, but we must hold fast, and that the Lord will supply for us. He will not tempt us to be tempted, will not allow us to be tempted above that which we're able, but will with that temptation make a way of escape. So we see this confidence being tied. Also, always the Lord is mentioned, isn't it? He's always mentioned. So we're having confidence of faith of Jesus Christ. And we'll say no matter what. That's where it got me thinking about that I believe, help my unbelief, and that there's no temptation taken us that isn't common. As much as we might want to flatter ourselves that no matter what, I will believe in the Lord, I began thinking about some of the people that populate the scriptures. Peter was the premier apostle of the original 12. And yet he himself had those great moments where he cast away confidence, didn't he? Very famously at the time of the arrest, before the crucifixion, he denied Jesus. And then later when they met on the shore, he saw it was Jesus. He'd gone fishing. He'd already seen the resurrected Jesus, but he just kind of needed to give up for a little while, didn't he? Then we think about Paul, who was sort of an apostle of iron, but even he said, you know, that he had a fear, he had a real concern that having preached this to others, he himself might become shipwrecked. So, you know, we cannot be, I don't want to say overly confident, because we're talking about confidence, but we don't want to be braggarts about no matter what, because I absolutely know that there is something that could tempt any of us where we really would have our back to the wall. But at the same time, we have the promise of God that no matter what, that he makes it bearable for us in a way of escape. So we see that this isn't so much our confidence, having total confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what, but that it is about the Lord. And so, again, we get back to that prayer. I believe, I must believe, but help my unbelief. It's not my belief that will betray me. It's my where I don't believe, and that we all need to continue in that vein. When we make belief about our works, we will fail. And that's a tricky thing, because the fundamental human theological battle is always between works and faith. It has been since the beginning, and it will be until the day the Lord returns and puts it to rest. We, you know, even I was reminded of the Galatians the other day when Paul talked to the Galatians, and in the King James, it says, "You foolish Galatians," but in New English translation, it says, "You stupid Galatians." What you started out well, you started in faith, but somehow works got itself in there. Now, we know that if you have faith, works will show up, but we can't judge that. You can't look at somebody's works and say it's faith. Kind of corollary when we were talking about loving and giving the other day, you know, the beginning of last month, I made the statement that you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. All faith will lead to works, but not all works are indicative of faith. And so I have a healthy fear that I may rely upon my faith instead of rely on him, the author of my faith, the author and finisher of my faith. Amen? So we're going to go to some place to investigate this a little bit. It's a pretty big subject, but I want to touch on something that may encourage you, help you, strengthen you, make you think. And again, our topic, having total confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what. And like I said, my little corollary to that is I have a healthy knowledge that all of us can be tempted, can be pushed, can be tried, can be exhausted. Remember when we were talking the other day about the prophet who just sat down discouraged and said, you know, that I alone am left. His tiredness, his discouragement, his exhaustion, his labor, his struggle had robbed him of that perspective that God still has other things out there. That our own discouragement can make us very myopic, and we can see, we can't always see outside the way we're thinking. And that's why we just love that the Spirit of God is not held in a box, is it? And that's the trouble, truly, with works. We like that to know what are the rules, and if I obey the rules, then I'm all right. Well, it is not a matter of rules, is it? It's a matter of faith, and faith can't be put into a box of rules. Anyway, so again, we have this issue of the confidence in faith, but it's not our faith, our works. So I want us to take to a place where, you know, knowing, you know, well, how does this work out? So we're going to go to a place, and I wish I had lots of time to cover the full beginning of this, because this is one of my favorite passages, and I don't think I've ever shared it on the program, the first part of it. So we're going to kind of jump into the middle, and I just have to make myself a note and remember sometime to cover the first part of this. We're going to go to the Gospel according to John. And again, remember, like we always start out, you know, who wrote it? To whom were they writing it? What was their assignment in writing it? We know that John was to present Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And so there, it's a lot more of, it shows his divinity, and we have to understand it in a spiritual frame of mind. You know, Matthew shows him as the Messiah. He fulfills law. Mark shows him as a servant. Luke shows him as the Son of Man. And that's where you see a lot of the compassion, the empathy, where he helps those who are the most vulnerable in our society, the most downtrodden, the most overlooked. And John, we see his divinity coming through. So you just bear that in mind. All right, so we are in John, and we're going to turn to chapter 11. As I said, I would have loved to have been able to back up and do the whole chapter. We're going to jump into the middle of it. But again, remember those scriptures. They seemed kind of random, that it's our confidence. It's by our confidence that we enter boldly into his presence, and that we don't cast away our confidence, knowing there's recompense of promise. And remember that word promise. And that, you know, we are aware that he does not allow us to be tempted, but that we are able, makes a way of temptation, of escape. And so as we think about those scriptures, let's turn to John chapter 11. And I'm going to jump into the middle. Lazarus, his friend has died. He stayed where he was. The apostles were kind of confused about that. They had different reactions to it. We always, when something happens we don't understand, we get confused and we look at it differently. And no one is necessarily wrong, but none of us are really right. So then he heads toward Martha and Mary. And I wish I could take time now and talk to you about what happens here. But we're just going to jump into it and ignore that part so we can get on to where we want to go. So he comes to the edge of town, and Martha is on the at the city gate waiting for him. And he said that, you know, many had come out. And then verse 20, Martha, as soon as she heard Jesus was coming, went to meet him. But Mary sat in the house. 21, then said Martha unto the Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Later, when Mary comes to him, she says the exact same thing. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. Tells me two things that they had conferred upon this. And whenever we start conferring with others, much of the time we don't increase our faith, we decrease it. The two of them had come to a conclusion. The other thing is, it tells me that they had also been listening to that counsel of all those people who came to comfort him. There's this hidden accusation that somehow Jesus was late, that if he'd come earlier, he wouldn't have died. All right? They'd agreed upon it, and there's a subtle accusation. So she said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, remember that, because she has faith, but she had faith past tense. My faith was, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. I had faith for his healing, but that's past tense. And then she says, but I know that even now, whatsoever you ask of God, now remember, asking of God is the result of confidence, isn't it? God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. So he answers her. He said, thy brother shall rise again. Now Martha says something else to him. In verse 24, Martha said unto him, I know he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So she's, this know is the same as believe. She has confidence. She has faith that he will rise again at the last day. So what is that faith for? That's faith for the future. We can, that I believe help my unbelief. She had belief for the past. If you'd have been here, this wouldn't have happened. She had faith for the future. In the future, my brother will rise again. But it's that faith right here, right now, that she was struggling with, and that we often do. That the man with the child, I believe, help my unbelief. So we're going to try and augment that. Again, you know me, I'm going to look at verb tense. She had faith for the past. She had faith for the future. But her brother is still in the grave. So he makes it a little plainer. Jesus said unto her, verse 25, I am, I am the resurrection. Now, what we usually do is say, I am the resurrection and the life. But remember, we're looking at verb tense. I'm going to get you pushed up in that category. We talked about past, we talked about future, but he is talking in what? Present tense. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, again, that belief tied to that confidence, though he were dead, yet he shall live. Now again, were dead, past tense, shall live, future tense, but I am. The resurrection is present, and it's right smack between those two. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And I won't go into this. I would love to, but there's a tremendous revelation that happens here. She said to him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. When she'd said so, secretly she called Martha, she came, everybody else came. Verse 32, when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. I love verse 33. You have to learn, read this either in some other translations or read it from the nuances of the languages it was written in. It sounds so sweet. And Jesus therefore saw her weeping. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, the Jews also weeping came with her. He groaned in his spirit and was troubled. That sounds empathetic. Oh, he's seeing their unhappiness. He's seeing their... The real translation of that is he snorted inwardly. Okay. He snorted that in anger is what it is. He wasn't moaning in compassion. He snorted with anger. Have you ever done that? Somebody comes up and just like, ugh. He was disgusted. Now, he didn't sin, but he got angry because of their unbelief. Remember, if you go through the Bible, you know, belief and faith are way too big a subject for us to cover, even if we devoted the entire program to this every day. But there are only two times I see the Lord marvel. One time he marveled at the unbelief of the people. The other time I see him marvel was at the belief in a Gentile. He says, I've not found so great faith, no, not in all of Israel. So his level there is tied to faith. He groaned inwardly. What he did was he snorted in anger is what he did. Ugh. It was disgusting. It didn't get in the way, but it's like, oh my gosh, I've come all this way to do this thing and hear all these people weeping and wailing and carrying on as if they don't know who he is. And I just want to give you that, also that kind of little bit of a challenge. When someone dies, we love them. We weep, we're sad. We sorrow, we grieve, absolutely. And I take nothing away from that. But at the same time, Paul had written to the Thessalonians, he said, sorrow not as those who have no hope. He didn't say that believers won't sorrow. Some ways we sorrow the more because we understand the loss when there's someone we love. Our love can be sometimes purer, and it there's a sorrow in that grief. But at the same time, we cannot sorrow as those who have no hope. We, as despondent as we may be, we can never be utterly despairing because there's always hope. Hope is the substance of things. Faith is the substance of things. What? Hope for. If you have no hope, you have no faith. There's nothing for your faith to bring to pass. Faith and hope are connected in ways. And so if you have no hope, then obviously you'll have no faith either, will you? Faith is a substance of things hoped for. No hope, no faith. So if we have faith, we have a hope. We may not always understand what we're hoping for. There are days we hope for something. That, again, hope is a verb that is both transitive and intransitive. There are, and I know that may make a couple of you scratch your head, but it's okay because that's how we learn these things. Hope, you can hope for something. I hope I get a card in the mail today. I hope, you know, that it doesn't rain today. I've got things I'm hoping for specifically. But I also can just hope. I wake up and I'm hopeful. I have no idea what may happen, but I'm hopeful. I know something good will happen. Something will encourage me. And so hope is both transitive and intransitive, meaning it has an object or it doesn't have an object. I know that may seem a little, you know, academic to you, but it's important. So he's kind of annoyed because they are not showing, they're not showing that faith that shows any hope. All right. So behold how they loved him. The Jews, when they saw Jesus weeping, they were thinking, oh, it's because he loved him so much and it's missing him. No, he was grieved at their lack of faith. And well, that's my interpretation. Somebody can disagree with me, and that's okay. Verse 37, and some said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have caused this man to not have died? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Again, the accusation. When we slip out of faith, we immediately turn to this thing of blame. When I see people who spend a great deal of time blaming, I really question what their faith is about. As soon as they say, oh, look how much he loved him, they immediately started accusing him. Well, if he could do these other things, why didn't he do something for Lazarus? All right. So he just dismissed them. He had no He had no time for them. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself. It's like, oh, here we go again. It was a cave. He went to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lay on it. I know you've done enough study to understand how they buried people. They would wrap them. It's interesting. Jesus was swaddled when he was born, wrapped in these clothes, and then when he died. But it was just, anyway, so they come to the grave. The body had been prepared in this environment, like the Egyptians, mummified people, but in the Jewish culture, they buried them quickly. It's again also the same in Islamic culture. These within 24 hours, because the reason being that they would start to decompose. But that's also why somebody had to be dead 3 days and three nights to be officially dead. That's why Jesus was in the grave 3 days, three nights. Sometime we'll talk about that. So he came to the grave and he said to them, "Take away the stone." I love Martha. She is just received the biggest revelation of her life. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the first thing she said is, "Lord, by this time he stinks, for he's been dead 4 days." It's our nature. It's like, oh, Martha was ever the little fuss budget. She was ever the housekeeper. She was like, oh, but he'll be stinking. And what I love is I think of the contrast of the lack of faith around him, all these devout and religious people that came to comfort him and them and to give them condolences and support. Their unbelief was more stinky than Lazarus in the grave. And sometimes, remember how it talks about that our faith is what? A sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. Their lack of faith stunk in his nostrils. Okay, Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha says, oh, he stinks by now. Jesus said unto her, this unto Martha, and I'll talk about that. Said I not unto thee, not to everybody else, not even to Mary, to thee, that if you would believe, you should see the glory of God? I believe, help my unbelief. She had faith for the past. She had faith for the future. But Jesus was challenging her to the faith for the now. If you can but believe, throw away your recrimination. Throw away trying to blame him. Throw away saying, oh, you know, that comfort. He didn't come to comfort. He came to change things. Many times we really want somebody just to give us a little self, or give us a little pity, give us a little affirmation. Well, we really need to be just be different. Okay, well, enough of that. Jesus said to her, if you can do that, you will see the glory of God. Wow. They took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, now this is our prayer. We're talking about what? Having total confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what. The reason I decided to talk about Lazarus is because there are so many challenges to so many people in the scriptures. People who've lost spouses, who've lost husbands, people who've gotten leprosy, people who've been accused of things, people who've been thrown in prison. John the Baptist was beheaded. If you start talking, read Hebrews 11. I had read it just for somebody the other day who was facing relatively imminent death. And I said, but let's read this. And I read all the things that people have gone through, and yet they held their faith in confidence. You know, and again, if we're talking about having confidence in Jesus Christ, confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what, that's a really good place to be. I'm sorry, I flipped a page too soon. Hebrews 11, without faith, it's impossible. Please God. And then, but it lists through faith, these people did these things. And it says, through faith he kept, it goes on and on. By faith they passed through the Red Sea. By faith the walls of Jericho fell. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish. What more can I say? This is beautiful. Where time fails me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel and the prophets, through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promise, stopped the mouths of lion, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of the weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered in sheepskins and in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, the mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Anyway, God having provided some better thing for them, that they without us should not be made perfect. So when you look at your temptations, your difficulties, your trials, your afflictions, I'm not so sure having going through all of those being sawn asunder and da-da-da-da, that we will, that the vibrancy of the question raised, having total confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what, that no matter what covers a lot of territory. So that's why I landed right here, because when you start identifying all the things that could fall under that no matter what. So here is Jesus standing at the mouth of this grave. And when he had spoken, so here he prays. Verse 41, they took away the stone. He lifted up in his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Again, that's part of that confidence, knowing we have been heard, right? And I knew that when you hear me always. But because of this people, which stand by in that unbelief, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. That prayer was just for those unbelievers to hear. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. In the Hebrew, in the Greek, sorry, it's two words. Lazarus, and come forth is one word. Let me just say, come. Lazarus, come. The God of all creation in the flesh before us uttered two words. Oh, whew, just two words. And the reason it wasn't just one word is because of this. Had Jesus just said, come forth, every single dead person would have risen up. He had to limit it to Lazarus. The miracle is not that he raised the dead. The miracle is that he limited it to only one. At the voice of our Savior, the dead come to life. When he was crucified, you remember, crucified, buried, and da-da, and all that happened in the ascension, it says the graves were opened and countless came into the city of Jerusalem and people saw them. Because when a cataclysmic thing like that happens, the graves are opened. So the miracle is, it was limited to Lazarus. Lazarus came forth. And he that was dead came forth. That's it. That That's what it was. Not past tense faith, not future faith, but right now, he that was dead came forth. And he was bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with the napkin. Remember, in Jesus's that was put to the side. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. I'm going to divert just for a moment because I like to, and I guess I get that privilege. I'm going to get back to our having confidence in Jesus Christ no matter what. But I want to stop right now. Jesus uttered two words, Lazarus, come forth. And the dead came to life. But then he turned to the people standing around and he said two things. Loose him, let him go. Take the binding off him. Take that which bound him off and let him go. So it is today for us. The Spirit of God raises the dead from among us. We see them day by day. But the obligation to assist them to come out of that which bound them is on us. The obligation to help loose them so they can walk. Here he is. He's all bound up and he comes hopping out. He's got his face is covered. He can't even see who called him or who's standing there. He comes hopping out, and they had to loose all the bindings on him. They had to take the napkin off his face. You know, we say napkin, but, you know, it was a covering on his face. They had to loose him. And so it is. The Spirit of God is raising people day by day. But we often leave them standing at the mouth of a grave, bound up with the very things that had held them back. We need to listen to that voice of God. It's miraculous that Lazarus heard his voice. It's equally mind-boggling that those who stood around did not hear his voice. Loose him and let him go. There's Jesus' job and there's our job. Till today, that is still our job. Those that come forth, it's up to us to loose them. And let them go. Okay, I'm not teaching now, I'm preaching, but I like it, so there. So why did I pick this passage in examining having total confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what? There have been so many examples, and I've wedged in a lot of different scriptures just because I wanted to. But I use this example of Jesus standing before the grave of his friend, being accused that if he'd have done it differently, he wouldn't have died. Oh, how many times we abandon faith for accusation. We doubt, we wonder, we worry. Why did I get this disease? Why did they foreclose on my house? Why didn't I get a job? Why, you know, did my marriage fall apart? Why this? Why that? If God had really been on my side, that wouldn't have happened. is the accusation. People come and look like they're comforting you, but when they turn your heart to question, and that's the same thing Martha said, well, I have faith if you'd have been here, past tense, this wouldn't happen. Martha had faith. In the last days, he will be raised. But he said, I am right now, right standing before you, right this minute, not what has happened, not what may happen, but right this moment, I am, present tense, the resurrection and the life. And he called forth Lazarus. And even though he was disgusted with their unbelief and all of their accusations and all of the, you know, looking like they're being very religious and supportive, but all they were doing was discomforting these two women, he said, he stood at the thing, he said, roll away the stone. That stink didn't bother him, the stink around him bothered. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. Why am I using this passage to address having total confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what? I guess the ultimate no matter what can be death. the ultimate no matter what. In Lazarus, my, did he die having confidence in Jesus no matter what? No matter, even if I get sick and die, I have total confidence in Jesus Christ. We've talked a lot about faith in this, confidence, knowing that whatever we ask of the Lord, we shall receive. All those scriptures we started with tie together. Go back and read them again. And what you will see is that there is a direction, but it's not our faith that we have confidence in. It's in Jesus' faith. Watch this. I will ask you one question. You know me, how I love questions in the Bible. Well, there's my question to you. If it is necessary to have faith, when he says, you know, all things are possible, if you have faith, well, you know, the man said, I believe, help my unbelief. I have faith, help my lack of faith. We all have some things we have, quote unquote, faith for, things that we, quote unquote, don't have faith for. That's, you know, faith and belief are the same word in the Greek, just different forms, one a noun, one a verb. So he had faith, I believe, help my unbelief. I have faith, help my lack of faith. That's where we all are on this continuum of total confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what. And here's what I have to say. Jesus stood before that grave and he called forth Lazarus. And I said the miracle wasn't that Lazarus came forth. That's not a miracle. That was a foregone conclusion. Because Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Not I will be. I am the resurrection and the life. Okay. So my question is, if we have all put our confidence in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, let me ask you this one question. How much faith did Lazarus have? He was dead. How much faith did he have? The answer is zero. He had no faith, but Jesus had faith. Jesus had faith that when he asked the Father, he would get whatever he asked. And Jesus asked the Lord, God in heaven, to raise up Lazarus. He called him forth. And it was funny because when he said, I'm going to pray this thing, he didn't pray, he commanded. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. Lazarus had had no faith. Lazarus was dead. That is the complete epitome of no faith, isn't it? And yet he came forth because God gave Jesus the freedom, the liberty to command that, and it happened. My confidence is in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what. I don't worry about what I believe or don't believe. I'm not saying that I don't desire to improve, don't desire to deepen, don't desire to all those things, but faith is not a work. Faith isn't, oh, that person has more faith than somebody else. Faith is Jesus Christ. He is the evidence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Jesus is my substance of what I'm hoping to see. When Lazarus came forth, it wasn't that his faith was failing. It wasn't that his faith was flickering. It wasn't even that his faith was as little as a mustard seed. There was no faith. But when Jesus spoke, he responded. For me, the way I see it, having total faith, total confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what, is knowing that my life is hid in him, that he is my substance, my past, my future, but he is also my presence. And when Jesus calls, I will answer. God bless you. My prayer is that you will feel that utter confidence in Jesus today. And that you, no matter what happens to you, even those things that we read in Hebrews 11, no matter what, our confidence is in him. for he truly is the substance of all that we trust. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Looking forward to being with you again next week.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Mist, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcasts by calling 619-639-4733. That's 619-639-4733. Now, mark your calendar and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with Elder Philip Harkey is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Mist airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 619-639-4733. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'Em Radio. That's GITM Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's on-demand archives. As you listen to our archives, click the follow button and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at 903-776-4486. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Mist, M-I-D-S-T, and like us because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him.